Good day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. My name is Pastor Emily Sauer, and I'd like to welcome you to St. Olaf Lutheran Church here in Fort Dodge, Iowa. It's good to be with you. I would like to take this opportunity to thank those who are helping to serve and worship today. Jason on the organ, Mark and Bob on the AV, Linda is our soloist, Grace is our assisting minister. We have just a couple of announcements for you. We will continue with our recorded services for the next three Sundays, and beginning July 19th through the remainder of the month, we will begin in-person worship with 8 a.m. service of the Word, which will be all spoken and no singing, 9 a.m. traditional, and 11 a.m. contemporary outdoor service. Our setup will be a max of 50 people in our sanctuary. This includes for worship services, funerals, and weddings. The pews will be blocked off. Hymnals and Bibles will be removed. We're asking that people sanitize on their way in and out. If there is rain, our outdoor worship service will be canceled. We're asking folks to wear masks and then also to social distance. There will be no communion or baptism, as we do not feel it safe at this time. There will be no coffee hour before or after worship or a staff nursery. You can continue to give your offerings to St. Olaf online or mailed to the church. We'll also have a box available at the back of the sanctuary. Wednesday services will continue online for July, and our Wednesday sermon series is called Summer Slump, so please be sure to tune in for that. I'd like to thank our council leadership for working through that effort of figuring out what would keep everyone safe for the month of July. Let us turn our hearts towards worshiping the Lord.
The welcome of baptism is for all God's children. This baptismal gift sets us free from the power of sin and death. In today's gospel, Christ promises that the disciple who gives a cup of cold water to the little ones serves Christ himself. From worship, we are sent on our baptismal mission, to serve the little ones of this world and to be a sign of God's merciful welcome.
We continue with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us, and in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 453, Baptized and Set Free, verses 1 and 2.
Bringing healing and wholeness and more.
O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading is from Psalm 89. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Truly our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A few weeks ago, I was scrolling through Facebook and came upon an image that said, "Leave people better than you found them." At first, I just kind of blew it off, but then the wheels started turning. This moment is the perfect example of what happens when my preacher brain, as I call it, goes to work. I started to think about how I treat people. When I leave a person, do I leave them feeling encouraged or better than they were before? Or do I leave them broken and searching? I hope that I'm leaving people feeling encouraged, but we all know we have those days when we really don't. When I think back to high school, I remember when I switched classrooms or, for me, go on a bus trip with the band, and was told by my teacher to leave the room or the bus better than we found it. What this means was that we would clean up after ourselves, take care of the area, and just respect the place that we were in. Why don't we do that for people? Do we leave people feeling respected and put together? I have a few different examples of how God works in and around our lives to teach us to leave people better than we found them. My transition to college last fall was far from easy. A few days before move-in day, my best friend and roommate, Faith, told me she decided not to go to college. I was very hurt at first, but I knew that she was following God's plan, and I couldn't get in the way of that. So I packed up the van and headed to the next chapter of my life, which was Northwestern College. In addition to the stress of moving, my family also found out that my 10-year-old dog, Lila, was sick, and we weren't really sure what she was going on. The day I left for college, we dropped her off at the vet to have further tests done. When we parked the car at my college and went in to start signing in, my mom got a call from the vet saying that my dog, Lila, had cancer, her kidneys were failing, and she would need to be put down. So here I am, standing in the entrance of my dorm, no roommate, and I just found out my dog needs to be put down. I was a mess. And then I had to go take my ID picture, which, by the way, I will have all 4 years of college. So I got my puffy-eyed, crying picture and finished moving in. This is when I started to shut myself in. During that orientation week, there were lots of activities and things planned for the incoming students, and I wanted no part of it. I am an introvert, so being alone in a new setting where I didn't know anybody was very difficult. The hardest part of it all was having to say goodbye to my parents and watch them drive away. After they left, I went up to my room, locked the door, climbed into my bed, and cried. I decided then and there that this is what the whole year would look like. I would keep to myself, and that was that. But then things started to change. My neighbors in the dorm were Samantha and Miriam, and they were both very outgoing people, especially Miriam, who has the coolest blue hair I have ever seen. They took me under their wing and pulled me out of my shell. I wanted to just stay and hide in my room all alone, but they knew that there was a whole world outside just waiting for me to experience it. It would have been very easy for Samantha or Miriam to just leave me alone and all by myself, but they didn't. They found me stuck in the darkness and brought me back into the light. The day before classes started, I got a call from my friend Faith that said that she was coming to Northwestern, and I was ecstatic. I had made new friends, things were going good, and now my best friend would be joining me on this new adventure. Everything turned out great, but now I can't help but wonder if God delayed Faith so that I could be brought back into the light and make more best friends. I was taken out of my comfort zone and given the confidence that I can do it on my own now. I may never know what God's plan was for that weekend, but I am so thankful that it happened the way it did and that I was left in a better place than when I started. After the sermon today, Linda will be singing the song Amazing. This is one of my all-time favorite songs, and no, not because my name is in it. I like this song because of the powerful message and the meaning behind the beloved words. Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, and some of you might not know this, but John was involved with the slave trade before he became a Christian. During one of John's trips, their ship came upon a really bad storm. The boat was about to sink when a miraculous incident occurred that saved the boat and everyone on it, including John. This occurrence gave John Newton his first glance at God and started his faith journey. God didn't leave John in the mess that he was involved in. God used that moment on the ship to stir up a change. And even though it still took many years for John to completely remove himself from the slave trade, God was slowly bringing him into a new and better way. Like the song says, he once was lost, but now he is found, and so are we. God left John Newton better than he found him, and because of that, we have this beautiful hymn that we love and cherish. Last week, I was fortunate enough to sit down with Pastor Carol and his wife, Judy, to learn about the Church of Damascus Road. I really enjoyed getting the opportunity to step into that ministry and hear what they've been doing. Our society tells us that when someone does something bad once, they're always going to be that way. But look at Paul in the New Testament. Paul killed Christians and was walking a really dark path, but God was not done with him. God transformed him and used him to lead the church. God does the same for us every single day. When we confess our sin, it is washed away and we are made new. Everyone deserves the chance to be found and transformed into something better than they were before. The Church of Damascus Road does just that. They go into a place where others might be afraid to go, and they make a change. They share God's gift of being found and made new once again. They work hard and leave those people in a better place than when they arrived. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus interacting with people in a way that left them on a better path. The Son of God healed the sick, raised people from the dead, cast out demons, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. The list goes on, and we all know the stories. I'm sure Jesus had moments where he wanted to say some words to people who weren't listening, or just grab them by the shirt and say, "What is wrong with you? What are you doing?" But he didn't. He taught, he healed, and he went on his way, leaving the people better than they were before. From each of these examples, I see how God left me better than before and continues to do that for each of us every day. God finds us in the darkest and messiest places, but he does not leave us there. He walks right in and brings us to a better place, a peaceful, loving, and safe place. Not only does God leave us better than he found us, but he uses people and events in our lives to continue that work, like my friends Samantha and Miriam, the Church of the Damascus Road, Paul, or a giant storm in John Newton's story. God's gift to us is a better way. Now it is our job to be God's hands and feet and continue that mission. Leave people better than you found them. Find the joy, speak life, and love as Jesus loves you. Find or leave people better than you found them. Amen.
Hymn 779, Amazing Grace.
Save us.
We continue with the prayers of intercession. I will say, "Hear us, O God," and your response will be, "Your mercy is great." Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of companionship, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations, shape our shared future, give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and be attuned to where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, and politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of care, accompany all who are in deepest need. Comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned. Today, we especially remember before you Gary Weidenfield, Curtis Stover, Tim Brainerd, Steve Hall, David Halsrud, Jodine Gazui, Rosemary Stickrod, Renee Powell, Willie Williams, Steve McKinney, Scott Otto, Teresa Copps, and Harold and Marilyn Wingerson. Strengthen those who are in prison or awaiting trial. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of community, we give thanks for this congregation of St. Olaf. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision we recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of love, you gather us in your embrace and all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering for the mission and ministry at St. Olaf Lutheran Church. You're encouraged to mail your offering to our congregation or to give through the PayPal link that will be listed in the comments section. We appreciate your good gifts as they help to further the gospel of Jesus Christ.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love, in our communities and in the world, through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
Amen. Receive this blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
Hymn 824, This Is My Father's World.
Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.